you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of life. Thank you for the joy of your word. Thank you for the joy of fellowship, being able to come to church and be with one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another in the word. And Lord, I just pray that today as I bring this word, that you'll just make it real and make it urgent to all the hearers, dear Heavenly Father, that you might be glorified. So with all that's within me and all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 14. And we will be preaching from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, and also chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, and also chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And it reads in the King James Bible, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor fit for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about counting the cost. Counting the cost. And I want the church to develop a sense of urgency, because whenever you see somewhere in Scripture where Jesus says, let him who hath ear, let him hear. Or if you see the words, verily, verily, that means pay close attention. Counting the cost. April 19th, 1999, Columbine High School, 15 persons killed. They were asked if they were Christians before they were killed. September 1999, Wedgwood Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas, gunman kills 7 Christians. April 2014, 300 girls kidnapped from a Christian school in Nigeria. June 2015, Charleston, South Carolina, 9 people killed during Bible study, Christians. September 2015, a Kentucky County clerk thrown in jail for being a Christian. June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court of the United States of America rules in favor of same-sex marriage. October 15th, in Oregon, at a college, Umpqua College, 9 people were killed, and before they were killed, they were asked, "Are you a Christian?" Attacks on God and attacks on God's people are not, they're no longer theoretical. It's no something that is nothing that you pick up or read about that took place 2,000 years ago. It's no longer just over here or just over there. It's here. It's now. It's very, 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 very real. And it's sobering. Because when we used to read, you know, growing up, I would read, well, you know, hey, you gotta give all for Jesus. You got to be willing to die for Jesus. And you'd hear about all those things. But were any of you thinking about that last Thursday? I dare say the people who ended up dead weren't thinking about it either. Today we're going to talk about counting the cost. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's no longer theoretical, y'all. And it should never have been theoretical, because if we know the Bible, the word came, the gospel came by violence. Look at what happened to all of the disciples except for one. They were all executed for being Christians. You know the history of Rome. You know when they had all the great festivals and all the great fun in the Colosseum, that we celebrate the Colosseum. Well, you know who's the main attraction in the Colosseum, don't you? The Christians. Being fed to the wild beast and being fed to the animals. So when I see this passage here, and I see who's saying it, it's Jesus. It's Jesus, y'all. And he says, I got a word for you that you don't hear that often. There's other people preaching this beside me, but it might be a word that you just don't hear that often. Jesus is saying here to everybody who's following him, before you say, I want Jesus, you need to count the cost. Before you say, I wanna be a Christian, he says, before you open your mouth, I'm gonna give you some information here, and I want you to count the cost. And he's gonna tell you, and there is a cost, he's gonna tell you that when you say, I belong to Jesus Christ, there is always, always, always going to be a cost. Verses 25 through 27. Let's start with, are you able? Are you able to be a disciple? Is that something that's possible for us? Look what he says in verses 25 through 27. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot. That means he's not able to be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot. That means he's not able to be my disciple. Now, here's what just plain old blows my mind. When I see this scripture, I say, Jesus, are you trying to build a church or run people off? That's no way to build a mega church. He's got all these people following him. Look, it says he's got this whole multitude of people following him. He's been doing miracles. He's been doing signs. He's been doing wonders. He's been feeding the hungry, and everybody loves that stuff. Jesus is going to give me some money. Jesus is going to give me some, he's going to give me a new car. He's going to give me a new house and all that stuff. And God does bless in those ways. But Jesus turns around with all these people following him, and he says, wait a minute. Before you go talking about you want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, there's some things I want you to know. And he's saying these things to us here as we speak. Are you able? When you look around, even on our daily lives, have you seen anybody? We have a thing in the United States called the Freedom of Information Act. And with the Freedom of Information Act, if there's any public official, a governor, a president, or whatever, you're supposed to be able to get the information of a record of what he's done. Try it. Just try and get some information about some of our public officials who don't want you to know what they're doing. Just try it. You'll be going around in circles this way, and I sent off for this, and I sent off for that, and you can't get anything. You can't get anything. But you want some free information? Go to Jesus. Jesus says, before you come, you don't need a Freedom of Information Act to find out what Jesus is up to. You just open your Bible. He's right there. He tells you, here's what you're going to have to deal with if you're going to follow me. Turn your Bibles to John 12, 25, 26. John 12, 25, 26. Jesus is telling everybody here, he's saying, you're going to have to learn how to put things in the right priority. You're going to have to learn how to put me above your father, put me above your mother, put me above your children, put me above your brethren. And in John 12, 25, 26, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man, here's the trade-off now, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus is saying to us, we have got to be willing and ready. And y'all, understand, this is something that only God can put in you. It's one thing for us to be like Peter. See, when the heat wasn't on, Peter was, oh, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll follow you no matter what happens. I'll follow you. That's us. I'll follow you, Lord. I'm your man. I'm your boy. Come on. I'm here. And then when the heat got on him, when the girl at the door, when he went to the door and the girl said, hey, I recognize this man. This man was with Jesus. And he said, I got a twin brother look just like me. You mistook me for him. And she said, no. She goes, that's the man. So in order to prove to her that he could not possibly know Jesus, he cussed her out. But it was so easy when the heat wasn't on. I dare say that's us, y'all. It's easy for me to stand up here in the pulpit and say this. But nobody's got a gun to my head. So what I'm saying to all of us, including myself, the Bible challenges us. He says, are you able? Are you ready to die to self to serve me? Now, he said, I promised you that when you die to yourself, I'm taking over your life. I'm going to live through you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. But I can't have you interfering with what I'm trying to do for you. We have to die to self, which is a hard thing, y'all. Anybody who's being honest, anybody who's being halfway honest, will have to say, denying myself of something that my flesh wants, it's hard. But God says, if you do it, I'll bless you. Jesus says, if you will die to yourself, I will give you the promise of eternal life. I might get 80, I might get 90, I might get 100 good years if the Lord really, 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 really blesses. So let's see, let me put this in perspective. If I'm willing to devote this little bit of time that God gives me, whatever that length of time is, if I'm willing to devote that to him, he says, brother, you got all of eternity to be with me. Ooh, that's good news. That's good news. He says, so let's put things into perspective. You only suffer for a little while here. It's just for a little while. If you live to be 100, put it in perspective to all of eternity. If you live to be 100, it's just for a little while. And so he says, why don't you use that time to glorify me? He said, if you'll glorify me with that little bit of time, I will. What did he say in that last part? I want all the saints to hear this. He says in verse 26 of John 12, he goes, my Father will. Not my Father might. My Father will honor you. Oh, my goodness. You mean the King of glory? You mean the creator of all the heavens and the earth is so concerned with my life that he says, if I'll give him his due, he goes, I will honor you. Y'all know God honors you in so many different ways. He gives you position. He gives you power. He gives you influence. And he really does. There's times when you need money. He gives you money. There's times when you're sick. You don't know up from down. He gives you health. Sometimes, your old house is falling apart, and he gives you a new house. God does that kind of stuff, y'all. He says, I will honor you. But there's a condition for that. We have to die to self. We have to let go of what we're trying to hang on to so that God can use us for his glory. When Jesus turned around and looked at this mixed multitude, I want you to think back when the Jews came out of Egypt. The Bible says that when they crossed the Red Sea, they crossed with a mixed multitude. That means there were some who were Jews, who were devout. And there was other people who just kind of, they saw a good thing going, and they said, well, we just want to go along for the ride. So, excuse me. And if you don't know, because of that mixed multitude, when they got over and they crossed the Red Sea, as soon as they got over, the mixed multitude, those who weren't devout, mixed in with those who were devout, they started murmuring, and they started complaining. And they started saying, oh, you brought us out of Egypt just to kill us. Just to kill us. We had it fine as slaves. Getting beat, whooped, starved, working with brick without any straw. But we had it fine. And so they had this mixed multitude. And the mixed multitude ultimately led to, when Moses was gone for 40 days, when he came back, they had this golden calf that they had come up with. Because you got this mixed multitude. You got saved, unsaved, folks who sort of kind of believe, folks who sort of kind of don't want to believe, and they want to run things their way. Well, Jesus is taking care of that right at the beginning, y'all. See, because when you tell the mixed multitude it's getting ready to get hot around here, peace out. It's been real. I'm through. I got things to do. So that's what Jesus is doing here. And he's weeding out a lot of people. I want you to know what's going on in America today. A lot of Christians are getting their skirts lifted up right now because they've been saying one thing. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I'm going to. And then when the pressure gets on, well, you know, it's God's, like Brother Fox said in the prayer, well, you know, the Bible say it's going to be like this. Well, you know, we expect it, but the Bible never told you to sit down. The Bible told you and told me to work while it's day. For the night's coming when no man can work. God says, when somebody does evil, you stand. You are the salt. You are the light. That's what we do, y'all. That's what we do. That's what we're commanded to do. But, oh, boy, now that things getting hot, organization CityServe. Did I get that right? CityServe. Church organization, ecumenical church organization. Ecumenical church, just so y'all don't know what, if y'all don't know what ecumenical is. Ecumenism is a belief that we all worship the same God, so therefore no matter what denomination you are, we can all come together and worship God together. Please don't anybody bring that nonsense to me. It's nonsense. We don't all worship the same God. That's a lie. And so what the ecumenical people do is they all get together because if you don't believe nothing and I don't believe nothing, we can all get together and believe nothing together. That's what ecumenism is. This organization up in Oregon, they decided that they can work with the homosexual community, and we know what the Bible says. We know what the Bible says. But we're going to show them God's love because we have so many things in common. We're going to all work together to see what we have in common. And then, you know, they'll see that we're so nice. That'll make them want to come to Jesus. Man, why didn't Jesus think of that one? I bet nobody ever thought of that. Maybe we just ought to try Jesus's way, which he says, preach the word. Isn't that what he says? He says, what communion does light and dark have with one another? How do you come up with stuff like that? You don't go out beating up homosexual people. You don't go out chasing them down the street. But you most certainly don't go into cahoots with them to so-called spread the gospel. The Bible says, preach the word, in season, out of season. And I believe that the reason that we don't want to do that is because it's going to upset the apple cart with our social circle. Because we don't love God more than we love men. We don't love God more than we love positions. And Jesus says here in this passage, he said, if you can't put that stuff aside, you are not able to be my disciple. You don't have what it takes to be my disciple. But pastor, that's so hard. I'm going to give you hard. Going to the cross, being hung high, stretched wide, and butchered for people who hate you, while they are yet your enemies. I dare say that's a little bit tougher than shaking up my social structure. But he says, I did it so that you might have life. And I'm asking you to do this so that my Father might be glorified, so that my Father might be glorified and you will be honored. He's not asking you to do something that he won't give you the power to do. With this mixed multitude that are following, they're just like so many people in the church today. Like I said, you have some, your health and wealth doctrines. But look at what Jesus said in John 6:26. Look at what Jesus says. In John 6:26, it reads, Jesus is talking about the people who are trying to search him out, trying to follow him. And I want you to see, make sure you're not part of this number. He says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. He goes, different people follow Jesus for different reasons. Some people follow Jesus for holiness. They want to know the word of God. They want to know the word of truth. Some people, I get phone calls on a regular basis. Hey, can the church give me some food? If you come to church, we can. If you come to church, glad to give you something to eat. Because if you can get here to pick up a check on Monday, you can come to church on Sunday. Is that hard? No, that's not hard. That's the word of God, y'all. Why are Christians more interested in making people comfortable on their way to hell than they are in giving them the word of God so that they might be saved? Just so that we don't upset our little social circle, that's why. But Jesus says, if you don't do this, if you don't put me ahead of everything and everybody at all times, you cannot, you are not able to be my disciple. Counting the cost. He gives us two separate illustrations here of how we need to sit down and think through this whole discipleship thing for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so caught up in the praise and the worship, and there's nothing wrong with praise and worship, but we just get so caught up in those things and the emotion and the fun fellowship that we don't ever sit down and really ponder what the scriptures are saying. Jesus says here, he gives us two illustrations. He goes, for which of you, verse 28, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? He says, if you're building a building, you need to make sure you got enough material on the job. You got to make sure you got enough manpower on the job. You got to make sure you have enough time to get the job done. I want y'all to know, God is building a kingdom. He is kingdom building, and he has chosen us to be co-laborers in that building. I'm a co-laborer with God. I'm his husband then. I'm a co-laborer. And he says, now, I want you to sit down. Because God has already figured out. He knows what the cost is. He knows who's going to do what and how they're going to do. He said, but anybody here who's ever built a house, anybody here who's ever taken on a new job, you know, it's nice to get a new job, but I dare say if you need a job that pays $22 an hour, it would probably not be wise for you to go get one that pays 12. See, because you're going to put in your 40 hours and you're going to come up short. You need to count the cost. You need to see what you need to get the job done. He says if you're going to build a tower, you need to sit down, give it some time, and see what's it going to take. Y'all, sit down. Spend some time with Jesus. We run. This week I've been running so much, and I'm finally, I said to myself, Lord, this got to stop. It's got to slow down. And I'm speaking to the folks here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We got to slow down. And think about this. If you want to know if the world is going to get along without you, I know you think your kids can't get along without you. You think the boss can't get along without you. You think your people on Facebook can't get along without you. Twitter, I got 1,500 followers. Just fool around and die. And the world will not miss a beat. So while you have breath, while you have time, why don't you sit down and have a little talk with Jesus? Your life is messed up. My life's got issues. Why don't we take it to the Lord in prayer? Why don't we spend some time with him? He goes, count the cost before you get involved in anything that you say you're going to stick with. He says, because as a Christian, when you profess to be a Christian, and then you flake out along the way? He goes, it's just like a man who said he was going to build a tower, and he ran out of money. People make joke out of you. For those of us who got a few years in us, think about the boy next door, the girl next door, the family next door, where they were, every time the door to the church opened, they were right there, ran right. And then old boy get a little bit older, and he starts straying away. He got 4 or 5 baby's mamas. He's out peddling pharmaceuticals without a license. But oh, wasn't he on fire for the Lord? But you know what people are going to say about that? They're going to look at him and they're going to say, your God ain't nothing. See, that's the problem with us being flaky Christians. That's the problem with us not taking a stand when everybody knows we're supposed to take a stand. How often have you had people say, you call yourself a Christian. Why, you can't talk like that. They know. And there's times when you and I are supposed to take a stand. We're supposed to stand for God. The kids, our students, you're supposed to stand in the school. You're supposed to do, those kids at that college, those people at that college, the kids at Columbine, the man, the shooter said, are you a Christian? See, it's going to come down to that. Not everybody's going to die for Christ. That's not going to happen. But you know what? He says, you better be ready. You better be ready, because one day somebody may come to you and put a gun in your face and say, are you a Christian? What you going to do? These folks died in America, the United States of America, for one reason and one reason only, because they dared to stand for Christ. What will you do? Count the cost. When I went to boot camp, I was trying to figure out why do they treat us so bad? We're part of the team. Why do you treat us so bad here? Well, they can't do that anymore, but I went in 1971. But back then, they could call you all kinds of things outside of your name. They could do all kinds of things to you. Now they're a kinder, gentler army. But I would say, why? Why are they treating us like this? Why did they make us crawl through the mud and make you march all night long? And this is just boot camp training. Because they say one day you're going to be in a battle. And we want you to know how to conduct yourself, because that ain't the time to try to figure out how to fight. You got to figure out how you're going to fight before you get in the fight. Count the cost, church. Before that day comes when somebody may put something in your face and say, are you a Christian or not? Pray. Ask the Lord to strengthen you. Say, Lord, give me enough strength to just have a daily walk that glorifies you. Just give me little baby steps, Lord. If you know you can't do giant steps, giant leaps, start with just baby steps. Say, Lord, give me the strength to restrain my tongue. I got a problem with my tongue. I say things I shouldn't say. I lie, or what? You back me in a corner, I'm going to lie. Just give me the strength to start a little bit by little bit. And I'm telling you, he never stops giving you wisdom. Never stops giving you wisdom. He says, he's talking about the man who was building the tower. He says, make sure that you got enough to build the tower. Then he talks about a king who's going to go to war. And he says, the king's only got 10,000, and he's going up against another king who's got 20,000. He said, before you go and do that battle, before you get into that fight, you better take a good, long look. When I look at that passage, and it's not directly correlated to this, but when I look at it, what I think about is, for an unsaved person, I wish I could get all unsaved people to look at this passage from this standpoint. The devil is the one with 10,000 in his army. God is the one with 20,000 in his army. Some of us, we working for the devil, okay? Either have been, some of us still got to try to keep one foot over there. But he's saying, I want you to look at what you're getting ready to get in. I want you to look at who you're up against. You're up against the King of Glory. And he says right here, he goes, first thing you need to do is rethink that thing about going on, taking him on. He said, but then maybe you might want to send out and ask for terms of peace. If I get all my unbelieving friends to see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, eternal life, is the gift of God. If I could get them to see that, I said, wait a minute, come here, y'all. Come here. What? Why don't you wave that white flag and seek the terms of peace? And you know what those terms are, y'all? And everybody here, all those who are saved, you have this message to give to your friends. You say, look here, you're outmanned, you're outgunned, you're going to lose. You're going to lose, you're going to die, you're going to go to hell. You tell them, hell is real. Everybody believes heaven is real. Everybody, but they reject hell. But they believe, oh, heaven, heaven, heaven. But you let them know that if they come and they come right, the King of Glory says, if you believe that my son came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins. He said, that's the peace, that's the conditions of peace. You come to my father like that, and he says, I will in no ways turn you out. That's good news. But what if I've got some nasty stuff in my life? You come to God with a humble, broken heart. He goes, I will in no ways turn you out. But if you keep fighting me, he says, you cannot be my disciple. And the Bible says, if you don't fall on this rock and get broken on this rock will fall on you and crush you. Tell your friends, peace is available. Tell your brother, your sister, your cousin, your auntie, your uncle. Tell them peace is available. Tell your students. See, because they're being told all kinds of nonsense. They're being told that all religions are the same. They're being told that, you know, we all worship the same God. We just got different names for him. I better sit down and talk with them. You let them know Allah and Jehovah are not the same God. They are not the same God. Jehovah says, I got a son. His name is Jesus. And there's no other name given unto men by which you might be saved. That's what he says. Allah said he ain't got no son. We can't be talking about the same God unless he's schizophrenic. Understand, y'all. Count the cost. Tell him the truth. Let your friends know that peace is available. The challenge for all of us as Christians, the challenge for us, verses 28 through 32, oh, excuse me, 33 through 34. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You see that word cannot, that's repeated three times in this particular scripture passage. Three times he's saying, if you are not willing to do this, you are not able to be that. Well, what if I sort of kind of maybe get close? Understand, if you are not willing to do this, you are not able. It's not in you. You don't have enough virtue. You don't have enough chutzpah. You don't have enough Jesus to do this. You cannot be his disciple. And I don't want y'all to miss, this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking to people who are following him. And I'm thinking, surely you want to keep them in the church, you know, surely you want them to keep them, you know, giving a little bit of money and making the church bigger. But he's sitting here, he's telling them, you can't do this because you won't do what I've told you to do. Die to yourself. Leave the cares of this world behind. Matthew 7:13. And it reads, enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. No matter where you're at in your Christian walk, we need to narrow down our path, y'all. We allow and we include too much stuff in our lives. We make too much room in our lives for junk. Is the preacher going to say something about TV programs? Yes. Yes. Some of them are great entertainment, y'all. But many of them are designed to just lure you in to a little bit darker, a little bit darker, a little bit darker. I was telling Sister Allen the other day when our doctrine orientation, and I was telling how first time I got laid off of a job back years ago, and I used to talk about my little sister, and I said, how could she be, all she do is watch soap operas, just soap operas. So I said, how could she do that? I mean, ugh, man, turn your brain to mush. Okay, so I got laid off. Me, Luke, and Laura became best friends. I said, what they going to do today? What they going to do tomorrow? And I mean, and it don't take long. It does not take long. That stuff, the people who write that stuff really know what they're doing. And now I don't know what it is now. I don't know what the new ones are. But I'll tell you this. I had to stop watching. When I read Romans 1, 28 and 29, when he says the folks who do this stuff are worthy of death, and those who approve thereof it deserve the same thing. Oh, my goodness, broke my heart. I started looking for loopholes. I wanted to see if there was some way I could hang. Maybe can I watch them once a week? Because you watch them once a week, you'll catch up on them every time. But the Lord says, back off from that. He goes, fill your mind and your heart with godly things. Because if you don't, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot, we are not able, and the disciple is a learner. That's not just necessarily a believer. It's a learner. It's somebody who spends some time learning about God. It's somebody who, when Jesus says, learn about me. That's what a disciple does. And look at what Jesus did with the original 12. He didn't pamper them or nothing. He just walked up to him. He said, follow me. Well, what about this one? Follow me. He's saying that to somebody out here today. You're struggling. That sin that you've been playing with is kind of pulling you back. It's holding you back. And it's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to send you to hell. You're washed in the blood. But it's going to keep you from being a learner. It's going to keep you from being a true follower of Jesus Christ. You won't be able to stand in that day because you haven't given God enough time. I work construction, and I saw some guys out on a job site one time, and they were supposed to be putting up stainless steel. I work on commercial kitchens. They're supposed to put stainless steel up on the walls. And when I walked in, first off, I saw they had all brand new tools. Now, everybody gets new tools every once in a while, but everything's brand new? Okay. And they got the stainless steel on the floor. If you don't know anything about stainless steel, if you put pressure on it, it puts little dings. They got it on the tile floor, and they're walking on it while they cut it. And I'm thinking to myself, they don't know nothing. But they had convinced the owner that they knew what they were doing. One day, you're going to be out there, and somebody's going to take a look at your stuff. And that ain't no follower of Christ. They faking, they shaking, they sitting up in church all day on Sundays. Praise Don't come to Sunday school. Don't come to Wednesday night. Don't come to Thursday night. Don't come to Tuesday night. All they do is say, good night. At some point in our lives, Jesus says, you need to learn how to give up the stuff that's holding you back. God doesn't want just some of you. I got a question for you. How many of y'all just want to go to heaven for a little while and then leave? Oh, no volunteers. Everybody wants all of heaven. Everybody wants all of God's blessings. Everybody wants everything that Jesus has for them. Amen. Yes, praise God. But I don't want to give him what he asked of me. It doesn't work like that, y'all. Count the cost. Ask the Lord to take that stuff out of your system. All of us, not just y'all, preacher too. Take that stuff out of my system, Lord. Take it out. What did King David say? And David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says, David said, search me. Cleanse my heart with hyssop. Wait a minute, David? A man after God's own heart? He said, search me. What, as a church, search me, Lord. Because some of the sin is so deep-rooted, I can't even find it anymore. I just know it's in there. Search me, Lord, and cleanse me. Give me pure thoughts. Don't let my eyes roam too far. Give me a heart for folks. Let me have some love for those who just can't get it together, dear Heavenly Father. Let me be an aid for somebody who needs an aid, dear Heavenly Father. Let me have some compassion on people. Let me not just look at folks and write them off. Ask the Lord. Ask him. He says, because when you become a learner, when you become a disciple, when you count the cost and you decide that God's got a better deal and he's always got a better deal, when you do that, all those things that you're seeking, all that fruit of the Spirit, all that love, that joy, that peace, that long suffering, it's there. It's in you. You got the Holy Spirit. It's in you. But we've got it hidden under a lot of stuff. Let God peel away some of those layers. Last thing, verses 34, 35. He says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it talks about this situation. Because think about that question. He goes, if salt has lost its savor, and you talk about in Scripture, they talk about table salt, and then there's a type of salt that they use for fertilizer, and then there's also a type of salt that they would use for pavers on the ground, just for walking around. And on this, he's talking about the first part. He's talking about the salt that goes in your food. He goes, when you put salt into your food, everybody's tasted salt. Everybody said, but if let somebody accidentally spill too much in there, everybody knows it. He said, but if the salt has lost its savor, if the salt has lost its influence on the food, how do you make salt salty again? You can't. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 reads, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Let me explain this to you. When he's talking about the salt that has lost its savor, and he's talking about someone who has tasted of the Holy Ghost, someone who has been around the church their whole life, have you ever experienced talking to somebody who was raised in the church? They even won the Bible quoting games. They know the Bible. They got all this information, And they even served in the church for years and years and years. And this is why people think that people lose their salvation. No, you don't lose your salvation. You never had it. That's what the Bible teaches. But they've been in the church. They've been around the church. And they got all this stuff. And then they fall away. That's what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 6. They fall away. Do you know how much damage that person does to the church? That person is the worst advertisement for God there ever was. Because no matter what you say to him, he's got an answer. Because he knows Bible, he just don't know Jesus. He says, it's only fit to be cast out. Jesus says, let those who hear what I'm saying, you have ears to hear it, listen to what I'm saying. Now, he made the statement that you cannot, absolutely positively, cannot be a disciple, a learner of Jesus Christ, unless you learn how to prioritize the things of this world. You got to give up the stuff of this world. You got to learn how to live for Christ. He goes, that's how you become a disciple, a learner of Jesus Christ. And he says, and count the cost. There's certain people in your family, you ain't going to be able to hang with them no more. Not even on Facebook. Not even on Twitter. You can't hang with them anymore. You got people that you run into that God is peeling you away from them. And you love them to death. They've been friends since childhood. But God is calling you to holiness, and they're saying, I ain't got no use for holiness. He says, count the cost. And the cost is, if you keep hanging with them, they're going to hinder your testimony. They are going to hinder your testimony. Understand that broad is the way. It's easy to stay in the world. But God is calling us to holiness. Look at this. Jesus starts off with a multitude. And he says to the multitude, don't follow me unless you're ready to give up something. I told you, I said, this to me seems like a really bad way to build a church. Don't follow me unless you're ready to give up something. If you ain't ready to get serious about Christ, get out the door. Then you go to chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Read it. It says, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear. Wait a minute. Didn't he just tell folks to leave, get out of here, and go away? But look who came. And look who came to criticize. The folks who wanted to hang on to their stuff, the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who didn't want to give up their position, give up their power, give up their presence in the church, in the synagogue. They want to be somebody. But look who came in droves to follow him. All those people who counted the cost, all those people who looked at their lives and they said, you know what? When you got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Right now, whatever it is you think you got, in the grand scheme of things, you're leaving it all here. It's all going to be left here. And there's going to come a time in your life when all you got is Jesus. And he's saying to you and he's saying to me, before you get to that time, why don't you submit to me? And why don't you start walking with me? So that when that time comes when it's just you and me, I'll be able to look at you and I'll say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You identified the sin in your life and you walked away from it. Well done. You knew that you had no business messing around with that man, and you left him alone. Well done. Young lady, you were able to keep yourself to yourself. Well done. Children, you're over there in the school. Mama ain't right next. Mama's not right there. So the teacher's saying something to you, and you want to roll your eyes, and you almost want to talk back, but you think that might be going a little bit too far. But then you let the Holy Ghost take hold of your lip, take hold of your eyes, and you sit there and you go, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, well done, well done. If you don't know him, I want you to spend some time tonight. I want you to spend some time right now. And I want you to look at your life, examine your life, where you're at right now. And if where you're at right now ain't where you want to be, or it's not where you need to be spiritually, I want you to humble yourself. Can't nobody stop you from Jesus but you. He stands there, he's waiting, he's calling. We're getting ready to have some music play. And I want you to examine your situation. And I want you to look at the deal that God has got. God said there's a war going on. He goes, the victory's already mine. You're on the losing side. He says, but you know what? You can raise that white flag. In that white flag, you could say, I believe that your son came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. I don't know anything more than that, Jesus, but I want to be a learner. I want to be a disciple. Can I start with that? He'll say, come on. He'll say, come on. Would you come? While the music plays, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, would you come? God bless you. Count the cost.